Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Su Studio.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. It's a cartoon parody of The Real Housewares of New York, and it's available on YouTube. Go check it out. And joining me is a hilarious, hilarious, hilarious man. It's Ronnie Karam, who is also the co-host of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. What is going on? Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Ben.
Oh, happy Monday.
Thank you. I love a Monday, y'all.
Happy Monday. We are excited to kick off this week. We're going to talk some Real Housewives of Potomac, which like everyone is talking about these days. Everyone's buzzing about it. So good. Before we do that, though, just a reminder that next month, we're going back out on tour. Charlotte, North Carolina, we are coming to you at long last by popular demand. We are going to be at the McLohan Theater on September 26th as part of the Queen City Comedy Experience. It's a whole comedy festival. It's going to be a big, amazing, awesome theater. We still have tickets available. Please go to watchacrappens.com and get your tickets there. Drag a friend. Go solo. We guarantee, like Men's Warehouse, it's going to be an amazing time. Okay? We guarantee it. It's going to be so, so good. And then here are other cities. And please, please take note. And we'd love to see you at any of these places. Okay, so after Charlotte, we're going to Nashville. We have two shows in Atlanta. Come to both. We're going to Carrboro, North Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Indianapolis, Indiana. Two shows in Chicago. There's not a lot of tickets left for either one of those. Two shows in New York. The first one sold out, but the second one has some tickets left. St. Louis, Missouri. Two shows in Philadelphia, very low tickets for the first show, but we do have a late show, so you can come see us there. And our final show of the year is going to be in Seattle, Washington on December 13th at the Neptune, which is supposed to be this like very super famous venue. So come see us there. We also are announcing a new city that we've never, ever, ever been to before, and we're going to be announcing that sometime between now and tomorrow. Well, not now, but after this show. So stay tuned on our social media channels for all that. It's going to be super fun. And with that show, once we announce it, those tickets are going on sale immediately. There's not even a pre-sale. So stay on top of that. Also, merch. We love merch. Ronnie, talk about merch.
Guys, there's so much merch. There's just so much. We do new shirts every month. This month, we were just in a mood, so we did a lot of new shirts. We've got a season one Camille, and we've got Demoted to Friend Of, and we've got a resting Hanai face for Hannah and Below Deck Med. You can get those. Just go to crappensmerch.com or find the link at watchcrappens.com. Go get your merch. It's only going to be up there for another week or two. And that's it for me, man. Come listen to us on, or come watch us on Crappins On Demand. That's on our Patreon.
Yeah.
Those are videos. We do those twice a week. This week, we're going to do Real Housewives of Orange County and Southern Charm as our videos. You can watch those on your smart TVs, etc. So go find those in the bonus episodes over at our Patreon, okay?
Yeah, there's all sorts of other good goodies over on Patreon. Bonus episode, Discord, chat room stuff. All sorts of awesome stuff. So go explore over there. WatchaCrappins.com is your hub. And from there, explore all around. So today, Real Housewives of Potomac. We're back. The episode starts in a pretty, like, pretty serious place. Last week, Ashley decided to go down the path that has never really worked out on Bravo, which is reconnecting with her estranged father. And where we left off, she was with her aunt Sheila and her mom Sheila walking up to the door of her father's house and knocking on it. And that's pretty much where we open up right now.
Yeah, so here's what happens. It's really a sad scene. We're wondering what's going to happen. And out comes Kenya's mom with a baseball bat. It's like, what is happening? Bravo!
So Aunt Sheila, like, takes Ashley and leads her to the door. And then all of a sudden the screen gets, like, dark. And it goes, in accordance with Georgia state law, cameras were not allowed to film on the property. And Countess Luann had her probation reevaluated 2 weeks later. I was like, really? Still with these updates?
I know, Countess Luann's sitting on the trunk. Look at this thing, I have to blow into it. Sorry, I'm doing that right now, girls, but...
So Aunt Sheila knocks on the door, she's like, she knocks on the door, and they're like, oh my god, here comes your father. And she's like, hey, this is your daughter, Ashley. And she's like, hi. And then there's just like this long pause, and you're like, is he going to say something? Is he going to grunt? Is there going to be a bowel movement? Like, what's about to happen?
Is he going to do what I do when people knock on my door when they weren't invited over and I have no idea they're coming and throw a pizza box at their head? Who knows?
Yeah.
Time will tell.
And then you just hear the door closing and just, like, locking. And you're like, oh, man. And then Ashley tries to speak through the door. And she's like, will you please come speak with me? I want nothing from you except to just acknowledge me. Please. Please. You know,
yeah, nothing. It's really sad. You know, he does pretty much what we expect him to do. I don't really know what you expect the guy to do when he blocks you from Facebook and then you show up at his house with the camera crew.
Well, you got to go that extra mile. You just have to hope, right? Like that maybe once he actually sees you in the flesh and blood, that like maybe something might like warm in his heart. But this is unfortunately, this is a reminder that life is not like movies. It's not like these heartwarming reunions that you see. It's people a lot of times cannot face their past.
Yeah, so that was super sad, and she's upset, of course, as she should be. And he opened the door, looked at her, scowled, like gave her a dirty look, and then locked the door in her face. Yeah. And so she's crying and everybody's, you know, like, it's okay, but you know, everyone's comforting her.
They're hugging her. And then I liked her mom because Ashley's just like sobbing, like, what more can I do? And then I liked Sheila, the mom Sheila was like, you know, he's just a mean, nasty bastard. I was like, yeah, yeah, pile on. I want us all to pile on. Shame this guy. What a fucking asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically she thanks her aunt and uncle and the aunt's just like, I'm just glad to have you back in my life. And it's really sweet. Now she basically decides that at least that's closure. You know, she knows he's an ass. She can close the chapter.
Yeah. And Aunt Sheila's like, listen, you're a beautiful person and you have a lot of people who love you. A lot of people who would like to marry you and then suck the dicks of the husbands of your friends. Like, you're loved. You're loved.
Yeah. So that's basically that. Thank God, because that's too depressing to keep going on too long for me, for my
taste.
Well,
the good news is that you now get to hear this story about 5 more times in the episode.
God, no kidding. I'm like, I hope there's no more sad scenes. All right, is it time for Karen to go release balloons for her mom yet? I'm like, geez, Potomac, what are you trying to do to me?
I know, Potomac has been really like, they have had like a few too many real slash sad scenes this season. I'm like, can we get back to the stupid stuff? Can we get back to the vaguely homophobic accusations? Because that's the fun stuff.
Yeah. The producers are like, this is really depressing. Can we pretend that Robin's going to buy a truck? That would be really fun.
Great. So now they can honk. So now we go back to the hotel room in Atlanta, and Sheila and Ashley are packing their luggage. And Ashley's saying that she was hurt, but at the same time, she's really happy to see him in person, and she feels relieved, and how she's literally closed the door on that part of her life. And I actually was very happy for her, because even though it did not go the way she wanted, I honestly can't imagine the void she probably might have felt, knowing her, if she just had never gotten to meet her father ever in her life. And at least she got to lay eyes on him in person. So I was actually happy for her.
And then we begin the real episode, where we get to see everybody doing their daily routines. Monique's over at the doctor, mm-hmm. who's like, I delivered the first baby ever. And then we go to Robin's.
I traveled by penny farthing to carry a baby for Miss Eliza Abigail Blow Flaherty, and that baby was named President Truman.
I actually delivered the first Snickers baby. That's the Snickers family.
I delivered a baby, a mean baby who cried and cried and cried, and she grew up to be Typhoid Mary.
So then we go over to Robin's investment house, where she's Swiffering. She's like, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of my house.
I'm still laughing that we made this doctor, by the way, this like Southern Gothic doctor. He was just like an old Jewish guy. Also, by the way, the music, one of our listeners reached out to I don't know if it's to us or to me or whatever on Instagram. Sorry, listener, I don't have your name in front of me. But she said the music that you are so fond of, Ronnie, is based off of a local Maryland style of music called go-go music.
I love that music. It's my favorite Housewives music.
Dear, love it too.
So Robin's Swiffering and getting ready for an open house. And they're like, so let's have an open house. She goes, yeah, I want to show my friends. You know, I want it to be celebratory. And her friend's like, let's call it celebratory. Because it'll be like celebrating, but we'll also sell it. Well, it's like, yep, that's a good idea, but it's also just bad spelling. Yeah. You know, sometimes you got to be careful.
Next thing you know, they're going to be like, well, we want to sell it. But, you know, we don't want to push it too hard. So we're going to say, we're just going to sell it a bit. So it's going to be our celibate house.
Oh, unlike me and Juan, who are banging like bunny rabbits.
It's the
constantly it's so the me much and Juan sex.
Having sex house. Man, it's just getting worse.
So Candace and her mother are at the salon, and Candace is like, let's have a cheers. Let's have a cheers to you not being a diva. And the mom's like, me or you, Candace? She's like, no, to you. And I'm like, could you stop dissing your mother while she's paying for a fucking manicure? You really are one of the biggest brats in the world. I'm real. Sure your ass did not pull out a credit card at this salon.
For real. Exactly. Candy and I also ass. Hate like how she makes toasts. And she says, to not being a diva, as though it extends to both of them. And then she just says, no, it only applies to you. That is not helpful. That is not helpful. I'm mad. So now we...
So then Robin is over talking to Papa. And she's like, hi, Papa. He's like, so, you want to be in the truck business?
He's like an old
if
boy.
If I had a nickel. Yeah. Shut up, you Bueller. It's not about you, okay? It's not about your truck business, Bueller.
She goes, I'm Robin, which was like really the most like hi, I'm Teddy moment that Robin's ever had.
I'm exploring. I want as much info as you can give me. I'm in the house flipping business, so dump trucks are coming in and out all the time, and I'm paying trucks to take in and out materials, so I thought, why not get my own truck? It's like, wait a minute. Don't you have a PR business? What is happening with your life that now you're going to have a dump truck business?
Yeah, I feel like the last like Real Housewives person who got into trucking was like Joe Gorga, okay? I think that's not a good sign. I don't think you want to follow in his paths. his path.
Yeah.
So Giselle shows up, and her chin is, like, so high, which means that she is, like, so ready to cast judgment. She's just like, all right, surveying the situation. My chin is high, which means I will be making shady comments, followed by messy gossip in a moment.
Yeah. He's like, are you going to join her business for women with government contracts? And she's like, oh, no. I don't want any part in this.
Yeah.
So, what's the price range of these things? And he's like, well, this tractor is going to run around $150,000. Then this one's about $200,000 because it's automatic.
Yeah. And they're like shocked. And Robin's like, well, I'm in the discovery phase, which was a hilarious callback. I was like, you know what, Robin? Based off of that one joke, I think I like you again.
Yeah. Cut to Karen's getting shade from her supposed best friend Giselle about her own business.
La Dame Flagrance.
We're in the discovery phase. Discovery phase of La Dame.
Discovering. You know how it is. It's a phase of discovery.
By the way, I loved Bill, the trucker guy. I want him to just be a cast member. I just want him to show up in scenes and, like, say a few lines and then just keep on walking.
Yeah, then just walk back to the Cracker Barrel he was born from.
So they hop in the truck, and I was getting flashbacks to Flirting with Disaster, one of my favorite comedies of the 90s, as they started driving this truck around, and they're just, like, circling around, and I don't know. I was a little scared. I thought there was going to be a small post office that was going to get run over by Robin.
Yeah. I like how Giselle's like, you know, when I think of trucks, I don't think of beautiful ladies like Robin Dixon. I think of old white men with a gut like that guy. So they honk, 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 honk.
Like silly.
When they're, you know, doing the gossip section of this scene, Robin's like, so you're still coming to my open house tonight, right? Or you're coming to my open house, right? I know you're mad at Monique, but please leave the pregnant lady alone. Please.
Giselle's like, that's even more reason to go after her. She's pregnant. It's more fun.
Yeah. And Giselle's like, oh, I've learned. And I know in my gut that I've been nice to Monique. And I'm not taking her nonsense. But I need to communicate better. So I'm going to work on that.
Can we remember what it is that Giselle is mad about? It's so funny because the arguments right now are like these layers of gossip that are so hard to track back. So Giselle is mad because Monique told Ashley that she thinks that Giselle and Robin don't understand what she's going through. So Giselle is mad that Monique told Ashley that. Candace is mad because Monique showed Ashley her private text messages with Monique, and then Ashley told Giselle that, right? And Giselle, yeah. And Ashley is mad at Candace because Candace has been pushing the Michael sucks dick comment thing the hardest. And Karen is mad at Ashley. Karen hates Ashley right now because
of that fight that got in at the farm.
Right, which was based off of Karen trying to be nice to Ashley.
Clink, honey. Drop the soap.
And the issue with,
drop the soap.
And the issue with Monique and Candace is that... So Candace resents that Monique is acting like she doesn't talk about Michael the way everyone else. You gotta sometimes, like, have a moment to just, like, sort it all out. Okay, I feel good. I feel reset.
But Giselle is really mad at Monique because Monique brought on her boyfriend's ex last season.
Exactly.
And she still can't get over it.
Yes. Yes.
And also, Giselle just doesn't like people that won't kiss her ass, basically.
That's true, too.
So I'm team Monique, always. I'm always team anti-Giselle, even though this year I really think she's hilarious.
Yeah.
So now we go with Karen and her sister bitching at each other in the car like an old married couple.
Yeah, they're in, like, this fancy Jaguar. And Karen's like, you can hit 0 to 100 in this one. I'm going to go speeding down the street, down this very small street that's 20 feet long before the first stop sign. Ooh, look, I almost hit 25.
Her sister's like, why would you?
Karen's like, just got to live a little. You got to live. You ever play tennis? Oh, that's what I did with Ray last week. We were living.
You should have seen Ray as a ball machine.
Bloop. Bloop.
Have you ever driven very slowly on a motorcycle through a supervised course? Live a little bit. Live.
So she's like, Daddy would have enjoyed my car, don't you think? Daddy would have enjoyed it. And she goes, our car. So do they own this car together?
I have no idea.
I'm confused. So then her sister Bridget's like, did you take my lipstick? Because I have my 520, but I'm looking for my 740. And she's like, oh, really? Well, Bridget, when we're done, I'll buy you a 520 and a 750. How about that? I'm rich.
It's like, are you guys talking about lipstick or highways or plane models? I can't figure it out.
This is the grand dame of commercial breaks. Time to take one. Security. Security.
And then Karen at one point gets herself all caught up in her own Karen talk. She's like, okay, we're going to the park, and that way we can get to the get into while the getting's together, and the getting, and the gone, and the getting, what's the getting, the gone, the goon, the gone, the gone. I'm like, Karen, are you leading an auction right now? What are you saying?
And she says that, Bridget, she was the primary caretaker for Mommy and Daddy, and her doing that allowed me to follow my dreams. Of Ladame. I said it there, I said
Ladame. I have two dreams. Ladame and taking crab legs out of a big pot. Oh, I dropped them.
Make your dreams smell good with Ladame.
Now my dream has come true. I met Macy Gray at Ross Dress for Less, and I said, hey, sit around while my daughter sings things. And it happened. Dreams came true.
So they take white balloons to the lake to do a goodbye to their parents and an acceptance speech or something. And she's like, well, listen, parents, Mommy, Daddy, we're not saying goodbye. We're saying see you soon. And I would like to thank them for raising me to be the matriarch member of this family with a scent called Ladame.
It feels good to finally be the matriarch who can go from 0 to 100 in 5 seconds in her brand new Jaguar. Unfortunately, it does not have a laser disc player in it, so we'll just have to keep those at home for the den.
Well, Raven recorded Amazing Grace, but instead I'm going to play my friend Macy's version.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Oh, hold on. Let me see. I'm sure I have the cassette here somewhere. Okay, let's press play.
Karen, this is Macy Gray calling. I think that you might have stolen the wallet out of my purse. I seem to have misplaced.
Oh, no, that's not the one. That's a voicemail from my friend Macy, who I'm friends with. All right, let's play this one now.
I like that she would actually bring her answering machine cassette. Okay. Let's play a Macy Gray song. Hello, you've reached the Hugers. You know what to do after the beep. Beep. Oh, sorry. There's my answering machine greeting.
So then they play Raven's version of Amazing Grace, and I realize why it sounds kind of weird, because they don't have the melody in it. It's just all the harmonies. There's not one solid Amazing Grace. It's just like Amazing. It's like all the harmonies.
I was wondering why it sounded odd. They're like, listen, you can either have the harmonies or the melodies, but for this price, you're not getting all together. All right, I'll take the harmonies.
So then they let go of an enormous amount of balloons, which, you know, I'm glad that you guys are honoring your parents, but do you know how many birds' parents you've just killed? You've orphaned so many
birds
right now.
There's like a seagull that is now walking into Macy Gray's office being like, caw, 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 could we sing a song together? Caw, caw.
Oh, good. So Monique, over at Monique and Chris's house, they are doing a CPR class for their kids.
Led by Idina Menzel. I was like, wow, look at what she's doing.
She's like, all right, first, kids. I'm flying hard to find gravity.
I was so fascinated by this because, I'm sorry, by the way, Ronnie, I would have added on, but the only other one I know is Let It Go. And I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to go there in the podcast. I don't know my Idina Menzel very well. So so they're like going to practice CPR. And I just had this like image of like Chris doing CPR on a dummy and just like, all right, I'm going to do CPR. And he just like pushes the dummy through the floor.
Yeah. Like, the dummy's head pops off. Like, sorry, dummy.
He just gets flattened into a rug.
Oh.
So, yeah. Ugh. So they were doing CPR lessons, and the kids were, like, not paying attention. And I thought, like, Monique and Chris were, like, a little casual in their discipline. I'm like, this is CPR. This is important. My parents would be like, Benjamin, sit down right this second. And I'd be like, yes, okay.
Well, who'd have thought, like, a two-year-old doesn't want to sit down for a CPR class? I mean, this is crazy. So that's basically it. I'm not going to talk about CPR.
I'm not convinced anyone actually learned CPR from that, but, you know.
I kind of did. I mean, kind of, because I was only half watching it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, so if you choke, I guess we'll get to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Heimlich. That's more of a Heimlich situation. So,
Never mind. You're fucked.
I once choked on orange juice when I was home alone. It was very scary. I thought I was going to be like Shelley Long in Hello Again. I was like, please don't let this be how I go out. So, it's a true story. So now we go to a winery where Candace, Dorothy, and Candace's half sister Crystal have walked in for a tasting, and they're all wearing like matching skunk jackets. And then Dorothy and Candace are wearing Chanel, matching Chanel belts. It was just like an awful display of like mother-daughter codependency.
I hate those fucking belts. I hate them.
They're stupid.
I feel like people who wear labels like that are just so like thirsty. Money they just got. You know, I hate saying new money because I wish I was new money, but it's just so Dorit. You know, yeah. It's like, look at me, I'm rich. And you're going to be broke in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and we know that they got them on Etsy anyway. You know, they're not real.
So they walk in the like Cruella de Vil coats, yeah, which I thought was really funny.
They were like disgusting. This weird white skunky. I don't know. They were not even like full coats. They were like vests. They just looked ridiculous. It was like a ridiculous garment. And the fact that there were three of them, I was just mortified for everyone involved in the production, design, and execution of these vests and everything involved.
Yeah, they're like kind of all awful. Well, I like the sister Crystal, but this family's just
the sister's just kind of vile, tolerating, you know, being part of this.
Yeah. Debacle. Yeah. So they go to a wine tasting place, and Candace is like, "Well, you know, if we can go from yelling and screaming and carrying on to dressing in matching fur coats from the same credit card, I mean, that's something."
Is it? So then Candace is tasting the wine, and she's like, that ending is like, what is that? Is that like, what is it? I can't tell what this is. Like, Candace, stop it. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, just stop it.
The ending. Yeah, stop with your tacky fur.
It's Parrish, but it's warm at the end. Parrish, come on.
She's like, and just to remind you all that I may not be very classy, but I am definitely on Bravo. I'll order a charcuterie tray. Thanks.
Yes. I will be having a charcuterie tray to go with my Parrish wine with the warm ending. I'm getting notes of glass and wine. That's what I'm getting notes of. It's like, yeah.
So they go outside for a little outdoor lunch. And she's like, you know, me and my mother both need to be conscious of how we communicate. And my mom is going to have the hardest time with that. So she's sitting down and she's like, oh my God, my pants are tight. I'm getting thick. And the mom says, are you gaining weight? Which doesn't sound like a bitchy question. That's what she just said. Mm-hmm. And then Crystal, who is not having the mom at all, is like, no, she said getting thick, mom. There's a difference.
Well, also what was funny is before even they started saying that, when they sat down and the charcuterie tray was there, Dorothy just turns to Candace and goes, oh, are we eating bread? So she's already like just shaming her. So what sort of finish does your bread have? Is it like 3 pounds? Any Parrish notes from that?
Oh. So Crystal's like, okay, so the cameraman's falling asleep over there, so let's talk about therapy, okay?
Yeah. I assume you've learned a lot about yourself, just as Candace did, and Dorothy's like, honey, I already knew about myself, okay? I've created 2 monsters, and I've made you dependent on me, and I'm really happy about it, and every time you get mad at me, I secretly get off. There, done.
And so, yeah, she's like, I just went there to help Candace, and Crystal says, well, you know, other people can grow too. Mom!
Yeah. And Candace.
Like, this is why you don't have your own condo, okay, that your mom pays for, Crystal.
Exactly. And so Candace says, you know, Crystal is 10 years my junior, which is crazy because I just feel like she so often schools me. I mean, I guess that speaks more about my rampant immaturity than anything else, but, you know. Gosh, this has a real parish finish, doesn't it? A real warm.
So she just starts talking shit about the girls.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, Giselle proceeds to tell me that Monique was talking shit about me. And the mom's like, what? Like poo-poo? Was she talking poo-poo about you? And it's like, get me away from this family. Just get me away.
Listen, you know, there has been progress because guess what? Candace made it through the entire scene without blotting her eye with a square napkin.
Yeah. Yeah, save a tree.
Yeah.
You saved a tree, Candace.
Yeah. So now Candace is seeing another side of Monique that she didn't see before. It's making her question who she is. I'm like, what? Like, what other side? Monique showed Ashley a text that you wrote because you were being a bitch.
Yeah. So then the mom gives some of that advice that she's a millionaire for. Relationships are worth it if they're worth it. Thanks.
You should work at it.
Okay, you're paying for lunch, shrink. Thanks.
Yeah. So now we go over to Karen's house. We do this very random scene, and Karen's friend Kia comes over, and Karen's like, oh, Kia's my girl. She's wonderful. Oh, the scene's already over. Okay, all right, fine.
Kia, very, very dear friend of mine. You might have heard of her from, I don't know, I just thought of a discount car named the girl. What's her name?
Hyundai.
Yeah, so Kia. Hyundai. Honda, my friend Honda is here.
Listen, Kia Sorrento, she's very exotic. She's known about my dream to launch La Dame for years and years and years. She's supportive. She's so supportive, I'm not going to let her say a single word this scene.
And when you do something as important as launch a fragrance, you want people to know. You want people surrounding you that you know are rooting for you. Now, Kia has double airbags, and no one is rooting for you more in a wreck than a Kia.
You know, it's really important to have people who are supporting you. They're just there in the friend zone for you. And Kia's got dual zone support. That's what I like about her, and her seat's warm. So when I sit in her, I feel warmed and loved, and my dream of La Dame comes true.
Dual seat warmers. So it's not just the driver that's got warm buttocks, it's also the passenger.
Let me tell you something. My dream is going from 0 to 60 in less than 10 seconds, thanks to Kia.
Bridget's like, but why would you do that? Get out of this scene,
Get
Bridget.
Out. You were in the Jaguar scene, not the Kia scene.
So she's like, this is the bottom of the bottle. Of the bottle. It's the bottom of the bottle. And Kia's like,
they're all like, she's looking as if she's seeing a hologram or something, you know, like, oh, wow. And meanwhile, the top keeps falling off the stupid bottle. And
yes, the top doesn't fit. None of the tops fit the bottles, which is so fucking Karen. I loved it. You know that she just ordered this shit off Alibaba.
Yeah, she's like, know? Well, we have positioned ourselves in such a way that it ensures success. It ensures success. Here's what we do. We have two glass bottles, and we're going to fill them up with Windex and sell them and say, guess what? We sold out of 100% of our inventory. Success has been ensured.
It ensures success. Cut to the bottle fall or the top falling off on the floor and Kia having to get on the floor to look around for the top.
And Karen's just looking at her bottle like this, a very generic perfume bottle. She goes, I like it. I do. I like it. I like it. Like, it looks like every other
I really
bottle.
Need to nail this one. And I believe I have.
Oh, I've got an idea. So this way we don't lose the top. Why don't we do a little cord between the base and the top. It'd be like my telephone. You know what I'm saying? It'll look wonderful.
And as we learned from watching Southern Charm New Orleans this week, Bravo gave notes or something to the music department and was like, this is what we're going for this week, okay? This is our new goal for the week. We want no music playing in scenes to show you how dramatic they are for no reason. Okay, go. Because now we have Ashley doing dishes in complete silence. And it's
like,
so weird.
Also. She's like, scrap, 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 scrap. I was like, where's your dishwasher? You're supposed to be in a luxury condo. You should not be washing that knife. Put it in the dishwasher.
So she whips out her computer and is looking stuff up.
Wait. You know what? You know me. I always get into a snit about some random shit, okay? I'm in a snit about something. I don't like that two-top that she has in the kitchen. That glass circular two-top against the wall. I don't like that it's a circle against the wall. I don't know why you have like a little bar two-top in the kitchen anyway. I don't have a third thing. Those are my two complaints.
Maybe they took it out of Oz?
Maybe, but I felt like...
I don't know, because I know when my parents have restaurants that close, it's like everything in the house. It's like, wow, well, how comfortable. A booth with a jukebox.
It just really bothered me. I don't know why. Like, I'm not opposed to two-tops being in kitchens, but that two-top I just didn't like. And then she puts her little laptop on it. I'm like, why not go to, like, the couch?
Or Ashley Furniture. Ashley.
To order a chair or to, like,
Ashley's
a table.
In the name, for Christ's sake.
I just don't know why, so, like, why the two-top? I don't know. It really, I wasn't even going to mention it. I was going to be like, Ben, this is going to be a rant that no one's going to care about, and even Ronnie's not really probably going to co-sign that much. But, like, so you should just probably, like, move forward, because, like, some hills are worth dying on, and this is not it. I was like, Ben, just be the bigger man. And I can't help myself. I had to mention it.
Well, I just have compassion, and I know that there's a two-top somewhere. Like, how could you say that?
Just be square and be flush against the wall. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. It's hip to be square, okay? Yeah. So Michael comes in. He's like, hello there. He's like grabbing the wall's butt.
He's like, hello, wall. I've been seeing you in a while. Hello, two-top.
Hello, two-top. Just another busy day of work and... business partnership meetings with phone calls and deals that have to go through on account of rampant heterosexuality.
Good to meet you, Two Top. May I introduce myself? I'm Two Bottom. All right, give me the line to your private phone. How about that?
I like that the mere mention of Michael causes sirens to appear in your neighborhood.
You heard those, huh?
Yeah, the West Hollywood police is like, we are hearing that there are some podcasting about Michael Darby. Is this licensed? Do you have a permit for this?
It's the furniture police.
It is.
They're to protect two tops and walls.
Yeah, they're like, I hear that you are a two-top sympathizer. We have a few questions for you, sir.
Hey, speaking of sympathy, Ashley's like,
so, yeah, you were sound asleep when I got home last night.
He's like, sorry about that. Mike, come on, dude. Like, first you don't go with her, and then you're asleep when she comes home. You're a dick.
And then there's, like, some, like, awkward patter where she's like, do you want some coffee? And he's like, no, I don't drink coffee in the afternoons. You should know that. As we all
surely
wife.
You know that by now. And she's like,
well, yeah, but then you can get your energy up and we could have a quickie.
He's like, oh, yes, a quickie. Yes, aren't you funny? She's like, an afternoon delight. Coffee and cream. I'm like, please stop trying to work your fucking awkward sex life into this conversation. Please, just for once.
I would very much like to have a quickie this afternoon, as per my heterosexual age, as my penis is hard and needs to take you on this two-top right now. But make sure your hair does not get caught in between the strange crack that happens when there's a circle against a flush wall.
I would, you know, last night when you came home, I was out, but this afternoon, I would love to be in your vagina as a heterosexual with my penis. What do you think of that?
I just have to make sure that my various deals that were threatened are now back and happening and going forward in such in business.
Business. Envelope.
Conference call.
So, she... tells him the story, you know, she tells him the whole story of what happened again.
And did you notice, by the way, that the entire time he kept going,
This is normally the tone I reserve for business.
I'm a husband who's interested in what his wife has to say right now, as evidenced by me saying, Wow.
So it's this whole sad story again, and she tells us that Michael had a really bad relationship with his own father, so he's like, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you've already married a new father. You don't need that one. You know, she knows that she wouldn't want to see him feeling like that with his dad, so she can understand why he didn't want her to go.
But it's still Michael's sort of like a dick, because she's saying, so I went up, and then we knocked, and then he looked, and he scowled, and then he closed the door, and Michael goes... and you didn't think you should knock on the door again? Like, shut up, Michael. Of course they did. Stop it. Stop being judgy.
It's like, I did, but I did knock again. And then she you know, tell us the rest of the story.
And then, and then she says that her dad turned the light out. I'm like, this dad is a fucking idiot. You're going to turn the light out and they're going to think, oh, he's not home now. Oh, sorry. That person who answered the door and then closed the door, turns out that was a vision and no one's actually home because the lights are out. Why would you turn the lights out?
It's just another fuck you.
I just hate the guy. That guy's an asshole. Everything he does.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm sorry you had to go through this. I'm pretty. You're wow. Incredible.
Mm. Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Want to have a quickie? Please stop. Stop. So then Robin arrives at her open house, and we see the befores and afters of her house. And it's nice. She did a nice job in there. Yeah, I love a good little flip. The couch, the furniture,
Listen,
but
the backsplash was a problem. Because
do you hate that backsplash?
I did not like, I don't inherently hate that backsplash, but I did not think it was a good match because the cabinets were like this, the cabinets were actually the real problem. They were like not very modern. They were sort of like, they're just like brown. They were dark, but they're, I don't know. I just didn't love them. And then what happened is you have a backsplash that if you're going to have like dark cabinets, in my mind, because I'm a maven, whoa, you have a backsplash that's like lighter maybe, but it was like this really aggressive like backsplash that wasn't subway tile, but it was like narrow sort of brick pattern. And so you had some were white, some were gray, and some were black. So it was like this three-toned thing that was like very busy. And then you had like, it didn't, I feel like you're going to do something busy if you have like a very like, I don't know. It did not provide the contrast that I would have wanted in a flip, okay? And so the streak of terrible backsplashes on Bravo continues.
Everyone starts gathering and her mom's there and she's like, I think you and dad should live here. Which, sell the house, Robin.
Yeah.
Okay. God damn it.
Exactly.
So she's like, yeah, this is to bring potential buyers through, but also to celebrate with friends and family. And who knows, someone might put in an offer.
Yeah.
Which those ladies will put an end to that really quickly.
Absolutely. So they're all like talking and chatting and various people are arriving. Robin's kids are show up and Juan and all that stuff. And then Robin's real estate mentor is there and he's like, he's just like talking to Karen and he's like, yeah, this neighborhood is not good. Not good at all.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and she's like, oh my goodness. That's later.
She says
you know, this kid came up to me and he offered to sell me some guns. And I said, no, thank you. Le Dom coming out soon. Le Dom. Would you like to sell something more worthwhile? Le Dom.
Yeah, I gave him an empty glass, more of an empty bottle of Le Dom, and I said, put your ganja in there and smoke it, and you'll enjoy it, because it's from a Le Dom bottle. Mm.
She should get the kids from the neighborhood selling weed to go around selling Le Dom.
I just thought it was funny that this real estate mentor who like brought Robin into the slip is then like going on national TV talking about how shitty the neighborhood is. It's like, way to sell it, way to sell it.
So Robin's showing the girls the she's showing Karen and Monique the house, and Karen's like, let me check out the closets. Let me check out the closets.
And they're and so then Ashley tells Robin the story about her dad. So now this is like the third or fourth time we've heard the story, which, you know, it's a real sad story, but it's like, do we have to sit and listen to it four times on TV? I'm not sure I need it anymore.
Yeah, and this is when she's telling Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's telling Robin. Robin's like, oh, that's fucking crazy. Like, what kind of person is that? So she's giving her some nice warm feelings. You know, after, like, gay bashing your husband for the whole year. But, you know, still, it counts. So, she's real sweet to her. And then Giselle comes in.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Giselle walks in, and we see Karen just giving her a stink eye, like, she's not going to be in support of my dream. La-dum!
She gives her that shady lip purse that she does. Yeah. I love when she does that purse with her lips.
Yeah. She won't get to see my teeth.
Mm-hmm. So Monique comes up to Giselle. And she's like, hello, hello, and gives her like a little kiss. And Giselle's like, oh, you were going to hug me? Third year in a row, you're like, Giselle and Robin don't like me. Giselle and Robin don't like me. Aren't you tired of saying the same thing? She's like, aren't you tired of being combative, walking into every single room? Like, what the fuck, lady? Yeah. Jeez.
And by the way, like, you know what's a good way to make people think that you don't like them? Is walking into a party and yelling at them.
Yeah, and Robin and Giselle don't like her. You guys have made that very clear for 3 years. Why are you acting like you've been so nice?
So, yeah, Robin's like, damn, hello. So, Monique, what I like is that Monique barely seems bothered by it. She's like, how about we celebrate Robin for 10 minutes before you dig in? Can we just, like, relax for a second? And Giselle's like, you don't tell me what to do. Monique's like, how about you take the tour? Go take a tour.
My plan, was to pull her aside, but for her to be immediately fake like that, it set me off. Dr. Ken would be disappointed. Sorry, Dr. Ken. I'm going to write him a note. My bad. My bad.
I'm sure Giselle's plan was just to pull Monique aside and have a lovely conversation. I am sure. So now Ashley's like, so now they're all like sitting around and Ashley is like, I said, Ashley's explaining what happened. Is she talking about what happened in Georgia again, or is she explaining why? Oh, she's explaining why.
Well, Ashley's trying to, you know, Ashley's messed too. So she's like, well, first of all, an explanation. I said, I'm glad we were moving forward. And she said, and Monique's like, all I said was that you minimized what I go through. Yeah. That's all. Okay. It was more so an observation.
I didn't say you didn't like me. I just said that you minimized what I go through. And Giselle's like, I've done nothing to you. I've done nothing to you except just be rude to you for 3 years in a row.
except hate on you in the worst ways.
Yeah.
And call you a trophy wife and a hooker or whatever she's called her. So Monique's like, it is like talking to a doorknob. Which I thought was funny.
Oh, I just installed 3 of them. Oh, wait. One fell off. Sorry.
Damn glue gun. I'm still learning.
And for those of you guys who have not watched every episode, there actually was a doorknob situation with Robin. So, you know, exciting arc for her.
Yeah. So Giselle's like, I've actually tried to get to know you on a better level. And that didn't happen. I'm like, oh, yeah, you've really tried hard, Giselle. Yeah.
Real hard.
Giselle is so full of shit. So Robin's like, oh, well, this is uncomfortable. I'm going to check on my mom about how many grapes she's taken off the stem. BRB, ladies.
Yeah, she's trying to make sure everyone else feels comfortable and isn't, like, turned off by all the drama. Of course, everyone's, like, loving it and just, like, watching, eating popcorn.
Yeah, they all signed a release. It's not like anyone's shocked that the housewives are fighting.
Robin's like, this could turn off a buyer. This could turn off an investor. I'm like, you know what could turn off a buyer and an investor? The flip. Wow, how come we didn't change the exterior? Okay, what about that? What about that?
Oh, they didn't? They didn't paint the exterior? Well, they must have at least painted it.
It's that brick exterior. Oh. I'm mad. I'm like, I'm still, you know what this is? You know, I apologize to Robin. I am just carrying over my anger about the two top onto Robin's flip, and I'm being unnecessarily harsh to it. She did a lovely job. I spotted some IKEA pillows that I've seen before that I've enjoyed. Great work.
You're upset about the backsplash. You're upset about the two top. You're having like a bad design.
I think something else is going on. I think I need to see Dr. Ken. I'm coming from a place.
You were mad earlier about Reagan's design on the Real House or the Southern Charm New Orleans recap.
Yeah,
you're just very mad at design today.
There's something deeper going on with me today, and we're gonna get to the bottom of it. I think this recap.
Ben secretly wants to redo his kitchen. That's what's happening.
I think you know what. Maybe it has to do with the fact that I had to run my dishwasher 5 times yesterday for it to like properly dissolve.
There it is. Where you're like, oh my god, this dishwasher has officially gone Robin on me.
I just had my therapist flashback moment, right? You know, like in every good show when like some like my moment where it's like you were telling me it's not your fault until finally I sobbed in your arms. I was like, I tried with that dishwasher. I tried.
So the girls are getting into it still, and Ashley's like, well, for us to move on, we have to hear each other. That's why I repeat everything that you guys say to the people you're talking about. And Karen's like, but Ashley, why in the world would you take one thing that was said and then tell Giselle it was said? Why would you bring it back to her? And Giselle's like, well, I'm glad she did, so I don't have to pretend to be nice to Monique anymore.
I mean, it's one thing to take back a bottle of La Dame to someone because that's a token of appreciation, but why is that to be La Gossip?
Yeah, Karen, I'm so sure you don't repeat everything you hear.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys. So then Ashley's like, I did that because we're trying to get closer. And Giselle's like, well, Candace said that you wouldn't let Ashley in your house. So what about that?
Yeah. And by the way, that's Giselle being just as messy as Monique, who she's mad at for being messy. And Ashley, I'm pretty sure
all of these storylines come back to Giselle, yes. Which is what's so hilarious. So Monique's like, well, if you want to hear a story, I'll tell you a story. I haven't talked to Candace in a while because after that baby party thing, you know, I don't know where we stand. And she took a position and she wanted me to take her position just because we're friends. And I'm not going to do that. That's bullshit. In walks Candy ass.
Yeah. I also like, hi. I like Monique saying to Giselle, well, we already know how you are with your fairy tale, so be quiet. Yeah, so Candace arrives. Like, I'm expecting her to have like a little stack of square napkins ready to go for the crying, etc. Yeah. And Robin at this point is also just like cracking up. By the way, I think she's actually decided. She's like, wait a second. Turns out if you just stand back and just watch it, it's hilarious. Now I get it.
Yeah. So Candace is like, oh, sorry, I'm so late. But I've been in the car 2 hours. I mean, traffic, honey. Everybody drove.
Yeah.
On the freeway to get here, okay? This isn't close to anybody. So Monique's like, well, we were talking about telling whoever I told you I wouldn't allow Ashley in my house. What? And Candace is like, let's backtrack that. I was told by Giselle, ding, 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 that you were showing Ashley text messages between you and I.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, yeah, I sure did, because you brought up something to signify the fact that I wasn't being real towards about Michael, and I said I was being real, and I had the text message to prove it. So there.
And Giselle's like, "Well, I'm not going to text you again because you're going to go show our text to the world." And Monique's like, "You don't text me anyway."
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Shut up.
We're not even friends. Shut up.
Exactly. And then so now Candace is like, "Well, I do feel like you don't like Ashley, and like not sure why you're suddenly defending her now after all that, you know? So now Monique's like, listen, I chose to accept her apology in New Orleans, and I'm not going to hold it over her head. Like, if we're going to move forward, I'm not going to keep going back, like, you know, going back in time. Candace.
Yeah. Candace, back timer. Also, Candace is horrible, and she's doing that bobby pin design in her hair where she's just got a ton of bobby pins, and she shaped them into a whammy from Pressure Luck, which I think is so funny because that's what I think every time I see her. Like, no whammies, no whammies, fucking Candace.
So then Candace launches this new theory that she thinks Monique used her to get to Ashley. Like, I guess, like, Monique climbed up the Candace ladder to get... I don't even understand the logic of it. I don't think anyone needs to use Candace to get to Ashley. I don't think anyone needs to use Ashley to get to Ashley. All you have to do is set up a two-top against the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, who's trying to get to Ashley? She's got a fucking old man in a kangaroo restaurant. Like, give me a break. Like, I mean, Monique's the richest one. If anybody's going to be climbing to get to anybody, it's going to be getting to Monique.
Monique is married to, like, a rich as hell former football player who also seems to be a very lovely person. Like, why would she ever, like, need to aspire to get to Ashley? It doesn't make any sense. And the fact that Candace puts herself in the middle of it is, like, this crazy sense of self-importance. It's ridiculous. And also, I applaud it because, you know what, Candace... You've been totally awful this season, but you've also totally earned your space on this show. Because last season, I was like, like, you know, you need to pipe up more. And this season, congratulations. You are a self-involved Bravo star. You did it.
Yeah, you're a self-involved idiot. So welcome. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So Robin's across the room talking to the guy that was brought in to buy the house, the potential buyer.
D-Mac.
And she's like, well, at least you know you can have a nice big party. How about that? I'm like, really? Because Candace is sitting on a kitchen stool. It was like, hold on. So,
yeah, it's true.
You're kind of failing on many levels here.
Yeah. So Monique is telling Candace, like, don't drag me into whatever you feel about Michael. And Candace is like, I'm not lumping you in with anything, mother. But I also didn't throw a bottle at you and threaten your life. And then Ash is like, but you did with Candace. Me, so you're not above it. And she's like, when did I threaten you? It's like, oh, okay.
You don't remember waving a knife in my face? She goes, oh, that could have been a spoon. And Giselle's like, it was a knife. There's a difference.
Could you imagine Candace in court? Ma'am, you are charged with firing a gun into a crowd. Yes, But I could have been throwing spoons, so innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. And Robin's like, well, Giselle started this, and it's really selfish. This is a business. Is she going to do this on my first dump truck run? Yeah. So Candace is like, I did not threaten you. It's like, yes, you did, and that's why I blocked you out. She goes, what the hell? You blocked me out. I was like, motherfucker, get the hell out of my house. That's who blocked you out. And they're just screaming at each other. And Robin's like, she's messing with my money now, and I'm pissed. And the buyer left.
Yeah, the buyer who was never going to buy the place in the first place. So,
was it the awful backsplash or its human equivalent, Candace? We'll never know.
Yes. Well, I feel better. I'm glad I got to the root of my design anger for today. Thank you all for being there with me. I was like really, really in a space, but it was all just like projected rage. From a dishwasher.
And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Potomac, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow. We have a new city to announce for our live shows, so we'll do that tomorrow. In the meantime, go over to Crappins On Demand, okay? Check out some videos of us, some bonus episodes. This week, we're going to be talking about the Netflix television show Instant...
Hotel.
What's it called? Instant Hotel.
Yeah.
It's probably going to have a lot to do with my penis, as it does star a bunch of Aussies. So go check out bonuses, get your tickets, get your merch. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.